Isaiah chapter 36. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib king of Assyria attacked all the strong cities of Judah and captured them. Now wait a minute. In the 14th year of Hezekiah. Well, he reigned, it says elsewhere, for 29 years. But we also read that he got really sick and was going to die, and God said to him, okay, you can live for another 15 years. So, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, he was attacked by Sennacherib, but actually, 14 plus 15 equals 29. So it was the same year that he was so sick unto death, and he was given another 15 years. So you learn from that actually bad things all sometimes come together. Sometimes it happens that one day this bad thing happens, then that bad thing happens, then you break your leg, then this happens and that happens, and you think, wow, that's just too much. Now, there is no Satan or devil out there. All this is from God. And you can see that in Hezekiah's life. Sometimes there's a coincidence of circumstance that is just so painful and so awful. You think, well, this can't just be coincidence. There must be a higher hand. And that higher hand is God's, but it is there to bring us to him. So, the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh, that's like the commander of his army, from Lachish to Jerusalem to King Hezekiah with a large army. He came and stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool in the fuller's field. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the recorder, came out to him. And Rabshakeh said to them, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say that your counsel and strength for the war are only vain words. Now in whom do you trust that you've rebelled against me? So he's saying, look, you people are just refusing to surrender because you trust in empty words. Well, it was Isaiah speaking God's word who had said, look, if you believe, you will be saved. I will somehow save you, even though Jerusalem was surrounded by the armies of Assyria. And so Rabshakeh is mocking that. He's saying, these are just words. And of course, that is what people effectively say about our faith in the Bible and our living according to biblical principle. That, this is just words. What's the good of words? Get on, life is real. It's a real life, it's a real world out there, son. You've just got to be smart and you've got to work hard and you've got to go the way of the world if you're going to get through life, if you're going to win. Enough of all this Bible stuff, all these words and ideas. But, of course, this is the test of our faith. Whether we read the words of the Bible, listen to them, and say, yes, this is God's word, yes, I will believe, even though we may be surrounded by armies, and as Hezekiah was, mortally sick and ill. And so, he says, behold, you trust in the staff of this bruised reed, even in Egypt, which if a man leans on it, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. And of course, that was unfortunately true. Many of them didn't trust in God's words, and they'd been running off down to Egypt to get help, and Egypt represents the world. And Egypt was like a stick that you lean and rely on heavily, and suddenly it breaks and it goes into your hand and pierces it. And that is what the world is like, trusting in human strength. Eventually, it's going to destroy you. Rabshakeh goes on, but if you tell me we trust in Yahweh our God, isn't that he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? Now, therefore, please make a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I'll give you 2,000 horses, if you're able on your part to put horsemen upon them. So he's saying, look, I've got 2,000 horses here, and if you want, you can fight me with those horses, but you haven't even got 2,000 soldiers to put on the horses. So they were totally outnumbered. And this is why it was such a test of faith. Would these words of Isaiah come true, or would they just be vain words? How then, he says, can you turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Well, chariots and horsemen are associated with the cherubim, with the angels, and Yahweh of armies, or the Lord of hosts. This is a common phrase used about God at this time, the God of Israel, because he has got countless horses and chariots filled with angels. And they were trusting on Egypt for chariots and horsemen. And now the chariots and horsemen of Assyria were surrounding Jerusalem. And actually, what we're going to read happens is that one angel, just one, goes out and kills 185,000 of their soldiers in one night, and the rest of them run away. So that's what one angel could do. And actually, they were surrounded by horses and chariots, as it were, of the cherubim angels. But instead, they trusted on Egypt. Well, Rabshakeh goes on, "Have I come up now without Yahweh against this land to destroy it? Yahweh said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" Well, that is true, in a sense, and it shows that God uses base men in order to do his purpose. But God was willing to change, even at this very late stage, and save Jerusalem if at least some of them trusted in him. Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to Rabshakeh, "Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Don't speak to us in the Jews' language, in the hearing of the people who are on the wall." But Rabshakeh said, "Has my master sent me only to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to the men who sit on the wall?" Then Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria." Now, the fact that Rabshakeh speaks to them in Hebrew, I think that he was actually a Jew who'd gone over to the other side. Anyway, he says, "Thus says the king, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He will not be able to save you. Don't let Hezekiah make you trust in Yahweh, saying, 'Yahweh will surely deliver us.' This city won't be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah." So this is the kind of conflict that we find almost every day in our lives. The Bible says this, the Word of God says this, but people around us say, "Oh, don't believe that. That's nonsense. That won't come true. You really think that you're going to live and reign forever on this earth? No, you're not. You're just going to live and then you're going to die and that'll be the end. So you want to get on and have a good career and get lots of money and have a cool life. Don't listen to all that stuff, all that God stuff." That's what people are saying. And even if they don't say it in so many words, they say it by their attitude to us. So, Rabshakeh says, "Don't listen to Hezekiah when he says, 'No, trust in Yahweh, this city of Jerusalem will not fall into the hand of the king of Assyria.' No," Rabshakeh says, "make your peace with me and surrender to me. And then each of you will eat from his vine and each one from his fig tree, and each one of you drink the waters of his own well, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards." So he's really trying to describe the kingdom of Assyria in the same words that were used about the kingdom of God, because Isaiah himself in chapter 2 had used this kind of language, and Micah had used this language at the same time, to say that in the kingdom of God, you will eat from your own vine, from your own fig tree, etc. So he's presenting the kingdom of Assyria as a fake kingdom of God. And that's what the world does. If you buy this insurance policy, if you invest in this pension scheme, if you buy this car, if you buy these clothes, everything's going to be fantastic. You're just going to have this wonderful life. And it's not like that. It's all offering us a false kingdom. He goes on, "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, 'Yahweh will deliver us.' Have any of the gods of the nations delivered their lands from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And did they deliver Samaria, that's the 10-tribe kingdom, from my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that your God Yahweh should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" But they remained silent and said nothing in reply, for the king's commandment was, "Don't answer him." So this is what people say. All these people with their different religions, they all live and die, and that's the end of them, go back to the dust. Is your religion any different? Well, it's not a case of religion. It's a case of believing in the one true God and in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And yes, it will be different in our case. Jesus really did live and die a perfect life and rose again to live forever. And he is now in heaven. And really and truly, we also will rise from the dead and live forever. Sure, all the other religions will fail to deliver on that, but the Lord Jesus will not. And so this is a great example here, because this is just what they're saying here, this Rabshakeh, that your God, Yahweh, is just like all the other idols. He's not going to be able to save you in the end. Look at how strong we are, look at our armies, you've got no chance. And they remain silent. And there are times in life where, as Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before pigs. There are times when there is no point in arguing back with people like this. So Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And we know how the story is going to go on, that God assures them that he's going to save them, and then the angel goes out and kills the 185,000 Assyrians. So faith was turned to sight. And God does, in this life, give us a few opportunities like that. And he comes through for us to encourage us that in the end he will come through for us when Jesus returns.